Well, great advice. Oh my gosh, don't let your batteries run out. You know, that is totally what happened to me this morning. See, I'm using my iPhone today, not my iPad, because my iPad's batteries ran out. Yeah. I went this morning to fix some of the flashlights for the kids today, and guess what? Some of the batteries had run out. And so I had to go over to Price Hall to go find some replacement batteries so the kids' lights would shine. How would that be for a great object lesson? Here's a flashlight, you're the light of the world. Go ahead, turn it on. And so it wouldn't have a light. You know, a lot of times we were in NXT. When's the last time you were in NXT? Oh yeah, that's pretty much what I was thinking. And so sometimes, you know, we can just sort of gear ourselves. You know, when God created the universe, he set cycles and seasons into place. Why is that? How come we just can't run? Like, we have a new dog in our family. His name's Duncan. So we have Finnegan, who's 70 pounds, and Duncan, who now is about 10 pounds. And believe me, they look identical otherwise. They're just totally identical dogs. Finn is an older dog, right? He's 3 years old. He's practically in high school. And he just sort of, you know, walks around and is kind of chill, and he just sort of takes it all in. And Duncan, oh my gosh, Duncan. Duncan leaps from the couch on top of Finn. He just leaps. And Finn goes, and Finn, Duncan runs under him, runs around him. And when we take him out, he's out getting in Finn's way, getting the leashes all tangled up. Duncan runs a mile a minute. It's unbelievable. And Finn, he's probably thinking, what were you thinking? What were you thinking bringing this ornery little dog into my life? Things were so nice before Duncan arrived. And so our Irish dog, Finnegan, and our Scottish dog, Duncan, are really signs that anybody can get together. And I think Finn is waiting for Duncan just to grow up a little. But energy is important in all that we do. Going out to start your car on a cold morning, the battery doesn't work. What do you do? Well, you might call AAA. You might call a friend, or you might just decide to Uber it for the day. But whatever you do, you can't get anywhere without a dead battery. When our phones go down, they're absolutely useless. When the power goes out, as some of us experienced just a few days ago, when the power goes out, what do you do? I was in line at Wawa getting gas, and the power went out. I'm glad I wasn't totally empty. I just had to come back later. But I imagine those kinds of situations we all know about, because even in our physical life, running out of steam just means we need to slow it down, get our nourishment, and to take care of ourselves, to exercise ourselves, to keep us in top shape. Spiritually, there are cycles, too, that God put into place. And this is why this is 7 days of the creation cycle. The patterns in our life, the morning, noon, and night, all of these things remind us that we need to take care of ourselves, but it also means that we prepare for what's coming next, because something is coming next. In other words, we don't live to rest. We rest to live. We don't store up batteries never to use them. We instead store up power in order to be ready when the next opportunity presents itself. We don't sleep all night just because sleep is fun, which it is. But no, we sleep at night so that we're ready the next day to meet the challenges that God has brought our way. When Jesus was with the disciples, he ran a non-stop journey. From the very beginning of those 3 earthly years of ministry, Jesus was about 29, 30 years of age when this began. He called the disciples to be with him, and he didn't say, come, let's take a nap. He said, please follow me. Jesus was interested in his disciples following in his footsteps because Jesus was going somewhere. He had power from on high, as the Son of God, as the perfect human being, to walk toward something. And he invited the disciples to come and follow in his stead. Jesus was someone who had a mission. And Jesus' light provided the light of the way. That when Jesus walked down the street, people were attracted to that light because around them was so much darkness. None of us like to be in the darkness. Well, unless we're sleeping. But again, we sleep in order to work. We prepare our bodies and rest and eat and relax and exercise in order to be ready for the work that's up ahead. We have been put on this planet to work, and Jesus' disciples are no different. They're just the same. For God has created us in his image to do good works, which he has prepared in advance for us to do. So when Jesus invites the disciples to follow the light, he shocks them in saying, but actually, you're not only following the light, which is me, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. But Jesus invited his disciples and reminded them that they are the light. We keep searching for something and realizing that what we're searching for is actually already ours. We keep longing for something when in fact we just need to claim what already exists. Look inside yourself and realize that God's light is within you. And it's a light that won't ever go away. You don't have to charge the batteries. You don't have to do any of that. That God's light is within us, and that knowledge alone should empower us just to think great thoughts after God. In our passage this morning, Jesus reminds us, he says that your good works, go out and do good works. The good works, why do you do them? So that people will give glory to God in heaven. We don't do good works to earn God's love. How could we? God already loves us. So no matter what we do in our life, we can be sure that God is present, and he is present in power in our life. And that light that God has placed within us is accessible to all of us, no matter our height, no matter our experience, whether we feel super spiritually energized or whether we're kind of feeling a little down, whether we find ourselves experienced in sort of the church and grew up in the church, have lots of great memories in our faith experience, or whether we're kind of new or maybe rekindling that relationship with getting together with other followers of Jesus to inspire us to keep living our very best life as we follow Jesus. Wherever we are on our path, just know that that light is within you and it will never be quenched. And you don't have to charge it every day. And yet God gives us lots of different ways for that light to be nurtured. And he says to the disciples, he uses the metaphor of don't put your light under a bushel. Now, why is that good advice when Jesus said that? Just think back. We're there with Jesus in the crowds. He's talking about light. What kind of light do you think the crowd there was thinking of when he said, oh, yeah, light? What image might have come to their minds?
Daylight, candle.
Yes, daylight, candle. What was the other one?
A lamp,
an oil lamp. Anybody else? Lights? Yes? So they probably didn't have an LED flashlight, you're thinking, right? They probably didn't have a little cool flashlight that I gave the kids this morning. It was simply an ordinary kind of a lamp. Now you know why Jesus says don't put your light under the bushel. Why is that? It would catch fire. And so that's just really practical advice. But the metaphor still holds up, right? So if you have light in your life, if your light is covered up, not only is that just a super waste of wonderful power, wonderful illumination, but no one gets to see it. And so Jesus is not interested in us at Cold Spring Church just having, just imagine all the light that's in this room right now. Each of us bearing witness to the light of the world. It's all over you. And yet, what good would it do if we stayed here in the box? Well, what good would it do if we didn't let our light shine? But remember, we don't let our light shine in order for God to love us. We don't let our light shine in order to be forgiven. We don't let our light shine in order to be a good person. We let our light shine so that people can see what we are doing and give glory to God in heaven. So the mission of Cold Spring Church, the mission of your family, the mission of my life, your life, it isn't just to appreciate it. Oh, I'm so glad I have God's light. So glad Pastor Kevin reminded me of that today. That's so awesome. I got the light of God in my life. But the light is there to be shown. The light is there to dispel dark places. The light is there to reveal opportunities that otherwise might be hidden. The light in your life is meant to illuminate and to bring into the light all the blessings that God has in your life. Our world today needs some light. All over our world today, we need light. And God's people bring the light. We are light bearers. But if all of us would just stay in unto ourselves, if we would just sort of stay cooped up in our own little echo chamber of Christian faith, let's say, no one would benefit from that light. And so in our world today, whether we're talking about refugees in Syria or that awful earthquake in Thailand this morning, whether we're talking about conflicts in the Middle East or the terrible coronavirus that's just devastated so many families all around the world today, that this, all these are opportunities to bring light, and all of them are just fantastic challenges, just overwhelming challenges. So if we bring it back down to our country, how could we, in our conversations with our neighbors and friends and family, bring light? We don't want to obscure things, cover things up. We don't want to not notice things. We want to be totally aware. We want that light in our life to so shine before others that others would say, oh, good job, Bob. Good job, Mary. No, we want them to say, no, we want God to get the honor and the glory for this. And again, our communities need to see the light. Cold Spring Church represents the light that for three centuries has been burning bright here. And that we have wonderful opportunities in order to keep dispelling the darkness and honoring God's presence in our life to bear light to others. In our church year, I think one of the most special ways that we observe the light is the Christmas Eve service. Many of you were there, yes, for that, for Christmas Eve? And you remember, it's just so beautiful, and I can sort of see, standing up front looking back, and it's a little harder to see depending on where you're seated, but it's just amazing how the room becomes illuminated as one light is passed to another, it's passed to another, it's passed to another. And how dark the room appears when everyone at the end of Silent Night blows out their candles. We don't want to blow out any candles here at Cold Spring Church. Everyone's light matters. So if there's a way for you this week to let your light shine so that a dark spot in someone's life or experience, what is our vision for the community? In Isaiah, the passage this morning that we read, God has a very clear idea of his vision, his social vision for the world. And one of them says, if you want to really show your love for God, you will support the widow. You will pay attention to the orphans. You will reach out to those who are poor in spirit. You will help those who are persecuted, release those who are oppressed. That will be your mission. That's how you show your love for me, is when your vision of the community aligns with mine, and your light is a great step in that direction. So release your light this week. Maybe you need just to get that flashlight when you get home. Maybe later this evening when it gets dark out, just grab a flashlight and turn it on and just see what is shown when you shine that flashlight that you might not have noticed before. I know that when we do vacuuming at home, you ever try to vacuum in the dusk or vacuum when the room's a little dark? You know, everything looks clean when you're done. Everything looks just great. Oh yeah, I did a great job vacuuming. Totally super. And then all of a sudden the sun comes in. This time of year it's really awful because the sun is super low on the horizon. It shows every single particle on the floor. So what's up with that? I just vacuumed. Everything is brought to the light. Well, Jesus' light is right here, all in our midst, in our community. There are people who are feeling oppressed. There are people who are feeling alone. There are people who need help with housing, or there are people who need help with their children. There are people who need help being older in age. They need resources. There are things that our light cannot just point to, but our good works show that God is active in our community. I'm so glad God's active in our life. And I'm glad that each of us bear the light of Christ. And I'm glad for all the places that your light will shine this Let us pray.